Open up to Mark chapter 4. It amazes me how many times people have made a decision not to be here in this church. And it's based upon, like we mentioned this morning, how there are Christians that just cannot handle truth. They don't want to hear it. Because it smacks right up against a lot of previously held notions and beliefs. When they find out that they've been misled, it's hard to admit that. For many people it is. Most people, really. It's hard to admit that. It's hard to admit, well, I've been wrong, I've taught wrong, I've preached wrong, I believed wrong, and all that. But it's the very fact that Satan's been able to deceive us, and he's been excessively effective in it, that's led us to a lot of wrong beliefs. And it just, it saddens me, really, that there are people that could be here and aren't, and it's simply because they're just exalting deception above truth. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. And it's really sad because, you know, you can walk in truth or you can walk in deception. And Satan has been able to create a real false sense of security in the area of deception. And, you know, I shared with you this morning an encounter that I had, a spiritual encounter that there's just literally no way that I can, in words, describe that event. I can only tell you what happened, but I can't describe what I went through during that. It's just one of the most intense experiences of my life, and that's all on the tape. Well, there would be people that could possibly hear that and get excessively offended over that. You know, how dare you imply that there is a demon manipulating our organization? Well, if your organization is not preaching truth, or if it's preaching, you know, this much truth and this much deception, what else can I say? What else is it? It isn't God. And then, you know, when you walk through the Word, see, I know that this is one of the reasons why that some people really get uncomfortable here. It's because of how God uses me and my style of delivery. And everybody's different. Everybody teaches differently. But with my style, it tends to be very line upon line, precept upon precept. You know, let's go to the Word and let's use up all kinds of verses. Let's break passages down. Let's look at this and find out what's really going on. And I really, honestly, you know, there was a time in my life where I wanted to be an attorney. I feel like I would have been a doggone good attorney. But this is where I am. I think I like this better. But, I mean, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just, this is how God uses me. And He uses different people different ways. But I know this, that there are people that have struggled because as the evidence is presented to them from the Word, it can't be refuted. Oh, I know you can traditionalize it, you know, in an attempt. But I mean, you can't refute truth with truth. You know what I'm saying? Truth always supports itself. Truth never contradicts itself. And this whole thing about, you know, us in the body of Christ being proactive as opposed to reactive. If you go back and you listen to these tapes and you think about your own past, you're going to recognize that really, my guess is every person in this room, every person hearing this tape, and the majority of all Christians are reactive, or have been at least, have been reactive or are reactive as opposed to being proactive. We have been so quietly deceived into inaction that when it's time for action, we're a mess. How many of you know the time to put bars in the windows is not after you've been robbed? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's, you would probably want to do that beforehand. And there's just so much in this. And this morning we talked about the fact that when we try to, and we're not going to go back and do a whole lot of rehash on this. You can get the tape. We talked about how that when we are experiencing things in life, when we try to work these things out in the natural, and we're trying to work them out with our own understanding, our own reasoning, our own rationale, even though we use a lot of spiritualese, you know what I mean? And we you know, talk the talk. But in reality, we're trying to work it out ourselves, and we're trying to make things happen. We're trying to create changes by what we can do. We are stepping out of the protection of the kingdom of God. And we're setting ourselves up for more problems. And we gave an example of how many times in your life has it seemed like you got everything worked out, and then all of a sudden it all collapses in on you. That's because it was a setup. And I gave the example, you know, the horns of the bull this morning. And get the tape, you'll understand that. I gave that example. It happens so much. And I hear these kind of stories so often. I thought everything was going, I thought it was, and then all of a sudden, and I don't know where it came from. Get the tape this morning, you're going to find out where it came from. It's explicitly clear. Now here in Mark chapter 4, we have been taught, in essence, in our religious backgrounds, we have, and this isn't just non-full gospel, this is even in the spirit-filled circles as well. But more so in the non-spirit-filled circles, we've been taught not to be proactive. We've been taught against being proactive, taught against power, taught against all of these kinds of things. And so, because of that, we literally are sitting ducks. And here in Mark chapter 4, Jesus, in verse 14, he makes the statement and he says that, you know, the sower sows the word. And then from verses 15 through 19, he describes all kinds of things. He says the devil comes to steal the word and take it away that was sown in their hearts. And then he describes all these different circumstances that happen, all these different problems, all these different, you know, things of junk that happen in your life. And we won't go back and read all of it because you've read it so many times in the past. No, okay, we will. The sower soweth the word, verse 14. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Now, we're not going to go through and break all this down, but we're going to create an image here in this. The Word is the Word, and you're not going to change it. I don't care what you say, you're not going to change the Word. It's truth, all right? Came from God, it is forever. But then you have all of these things, deceitfulness, cares, you know, problems, stuff. These things come along, and the first thing you notice up here, it says, for the Word's sake. In other words, affliction, persecution, problems, for the Word's sake. Now, where did they come from? Satan comes immediately. Alright? So, here's truth. And truth goes forth. And Satan comes immediately. Dude, take it away. Give me that back. But he can't reach in your heart and take it out. What's he do? He tries to create circumstances that are the opposite of what you've heard. Okay? And he tries to create... Now, these circumstances, are they in your heart? Or are they on the outside? They're on the outside. He creates external, or let's use this word, natural problems that are in contradiction to the word you've just heard. What are you going to do? Well, he tells you what most people do here. They exalt the problem above the truth, and they willingly choose to allow the problem to be their covering. You say, well, how do you figure that? Well, very simple. Just listen to how people talk. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're looking at the circumstances and you're allowing the circumstances to become greater in your life than the Word, it's going to pour out of you. Pour out of you. And people you get around, what you're going to want to do is talk to them about your problem, not the Word. You're going to want to talk to them about your circumstances, not the Word. You're going to complain. You're going to bellyache. In other words, you're playing right into the devil's hand. And he knows that you've given in. We as Christians don't like to hear this, because when you share things like this from the pulpit, there are some folks on the inside of their heart, it's like the Holy Spirit is saying, are you listening? Are you listening to this? Because that's what you're doing. And people can get upset. And here's, sometimes I see it in your faces. And sometimes I feel it in the spirit. Resistance? Oh, by the way, there was some this morning. Resistance. Resistance. Don't prove to me that I've been wrong, bless God. It's a free country, and if I want to be wrong, I'll be wrong. Don't preach your truth to me. It makes me feel guilty. Convicted. I don't like being uncomfortable. I want to go to church and feel good about everything I do. Well, do what the Word says, and you will if you're here. Can I help it if you're not doing what the Lord, what the Lord's given us in His Word? Can I? Is that my fault? You just don't like to hear it. I didn't like to hear it either. I still know. It's like, oh God, are you sure that's right? He said, that's right. Well, guess I better deal with me then, huh? Well, here come these circumstances. Now, these circumstances are the opposite of what the Word is. And they're coming for the Word's sake. These attacks come so that we can be taken out. Remember the example. Alright, first off, or the example of the horns of the bull. Alright, the Word went forth. Did it not? There's truth. But then here come the circumstances. Now, what we're seeing kind of described here in Mark chapter 4 are people that turn from the Word to deal with the circumstances. Whatever the circumstances might be. Whatever the problem is. Alright? Doesn't matter. They're turning from the Word to deal with something they see in front. It might even seem like a good kind of a thing. Alright? But they're turning from the Word to deal with this thing here. And when they do, they're coming out from under the protection of the kingdom. See, the kingdom of God is based upon the truth of God. And the truth of God operates in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God operates by the truth of God. You step outside of that, you are stepping outside of the realm, really, of who you've become. A citizen of the kingdom of God. And you're setting yourself up for problems. Now, we established this morning how that God is a spirit, we are a spirit, and the devil is a spirit. And how he knows this. And he knows that the key to us walking in full victory, the key to us being able to repel him, stand up against him, work defeat in his life instead of him working defeat in our life, he understands that if we understand that we are a spirit, and we begin to operate according to principles of the kingdom, which is a spiritual kingdom, those principles are outlined here in the Word, he knows that if we do that, he doesn't stand a chance. He cannot stand up to the Word. He can't. And he knows it. Every time anybody with any spiritual substance has come against him with the Word, they have shut him down. That's because the Word never fails. Ever. It's impossible for the Word of God to fail. Well, I tried that word stuff once, but it didn't work. No, no, it does work. You're the one that failed. You're the one that didn't work. You're the one that goofed up. The Word doesn't fail, ever. Ever, ever, ever. God said, my Word goes forth, it doesn't return void. My Word goes forth, it doesn't return void. God's Word can't fail. It's impossible. Well, a lot of Christians, they think it does fail. Well, you know, if God's this and God's that, then where's this and where's that? Well, it's right there in the Word. The problem's not with God and the problem's not with the Word. The problem is with you. I told you, Brother Martin, don't you preach like that. I don't want to feel guilty. I don't want to feel convicted. I don't want to be exposed for what I am. Walking in deception. I don't like that, Brother Martin. You keep preaching like that, I'll find me another church. Take my money and run, bless God. Well, God already knows what you're going to do. I can't get too upset about it. We just keep going back to the Word. Now keep this in mind. Satan's spirit, we're a spirit, God's a spirit. Satan knows this. He is a spiritual enemy. And we cannot see him. Now that's really profound, because a lot of people in the body of Christ haven't seemed to caught on to that one. Satan is a spiritual enemy. You cannot see him. Therefore, you must attack him with spiritual weapons. Well, it sounds so simple, does it not? Sounds simple, but how often does it really happen? Let's look at some things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, look for a moment at verse 3. We'll read 3 and 4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, verse 3, we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. You are a spirit in a flesh body. But the problems that you have originate in the realm of the spirit. A lot of Christians don't seem to get this. The problems originate in the realm of the spirit. We walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. Then he says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So here he's talking about the fact we have weapons. Then he says these weapons are mighty through God. If these weapons are mighty through God, it should stand to reason that these weapons come to us from God. How many of you have ever created a spiritual weapon? None of you. You are a spirit, but you are a born-again spirit, and as a born-again spirit, God caused you to come into existence. He's your Father. Now, as such, He's the one that can supply to you whatever you need when it comes to fighting. We are spirits, God is a spirit, and we use spiritual weapons. God has given to us spiritual weapons to fight these battles. We're not supposed to war after the flesh. Here's an example of warring after the flesh. The first time somebody does something to you that's bad, whatever that might be, you're on the phone to your attorney. But Brother Martin, what they did was illegal. Really? I bet God didn't know that. But they lied. I bet God didn't know that either. Well, you're just surprising God with all kinds of stuff today, aren't you? Yeah, that's right. You better call your attorney first. Because your attorney is going to know how to handle this a whole lot better than God ever would. I know none of you have ever done anything like that here, but it could be somebody listening to this by tape. And you and I both know this goes on in the body of Christ far too much. Wake up! Satan's deceived you into thinking the best way to handle this is in court. I didn't say you'd never end up in court over something, But what I'm saying is, Satan's got Christians deceived to think the best way to handle it. In other words, the Christians are seeing that the problem's in the natural, and they fail to understand the problem's not in the natural. It originated in the realm of the Spirit, and it's bearing fruit in the natural. Therefore, you've got to go to the root of the thing, which is in the realm of the Spirit. But when you're running to court, like Paul addressed this issue over there with the Corinthians, when you're running to court and you're doing all this and you're fighting all these things in the natural, how in the world? You can get a court judgment, but you know what? So what? You got a court judgment. You still haven't dealt with the problem. It is a spiritual problem. And you can write it down as a thus saith the Lord. It's going to be a matter of time. Something else is going to slap you in the back of the head and knock you down again. And it's going to come from that same root. This is spiritual. The weapons of your warfare are not carnal. And until we learn how to attack things from a spiritual perspective, we're just going to be putting a band-aid over the problem. Now, look over in Hebrew. No. Look over in Ephesians. See, when Christians respond out of their emotions before they respond out of their spirit, you know exactly where they're coming from. They're coming from the standpoint of, we've got to deal with this in a natural way. Now, they don't use those terms, but that's what it says. When you're dealing with, I know that there have been times over the years, things have happened. And I don't mean just here, I mean just over the years. And I know that there have been people who have felt as though that I did not do what should have been done. Meaning I didn't take action the way that they thought I should take action. I'll use these words. Even though these words I don't think have ever been spoken specifically to me. Why aren't you going to do something about this? Why aren't you doing anything? I am. You just can't see what I'm doing. And I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I never lose. Oh, I used to have some setbacks till I figured out I didn't have the answers. Till I figured out my way wasn't working. Till I figured out I was out from underneath the protection of the kingdom. Then when I decided to get back under that protection and fight it with spiritual weapons, I've discovered I don't lose. If something is attacking, and the attacks come through people, you understand that, don't you? They come through people. I don't lose. Sometimes the victories don't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a little time. I'm not worried about that, because I know this. As long as I'm fighting with the spiritual weapons that have been given to me by God, I will win. Because as long as I'm relying on truth, how can I lose? How can I possibly lose? God's victory will be manifest. It's guaranteed, because it's His Word. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6, look at this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, what did we just read a moment ago? We read about the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty through God. Now he says, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Well, that's almost what he said a few moments ago, that the weapons, you know, come from God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, in verse 11, where it says, stand against the wiles of the devil, remember it says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we've talked about that. Well, where it says, stand against the wiles of the devil, in the English, that gives the impression of just standing there, you know, and weathering the storm. However, the image of this in the Greek is not just standing there, but it is standing, not tucking tail and running, but standing and mounting an attack. Mounting an attack. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, or the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We're in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. He says, because of that, because this is spiritual, you got to take on the whole armor of God. that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, you know, people have taken that 13th verse. Having done all to stand, therefore, you know, and, you know, well, I stand, and I've done everything I can, you know, and now all I have to do, I mean, the only thing left for me to do is just to stand here and wait. Well, that's not what that's talking about. And people misuse that and give you the impression that it's like, well, you've done everything you can, and boy, everything still stinks, so you just stand there and take it till the storm passes by. No, having done all to stand, stand therefore. In other words, you've used the weapons, the spiritual weapons, to fight the battle. Now, after you have fought the battle with God's spiritual weapons, you stand therefore. And the image that this gives, the stand therefore, it's not to stand and just, you know, take everything that comes your way. It's the image of the victor putting his foot on the throat of the enemy and standing there in victory. That's what that means. Stand therefore, having done all to stand, or having done all to win the victory. Now, stand on the throat of your enemy, choke him off, and proclaim the victory. Hallelujah, I win again. That's what it's talking about. Well, he goes on here, and he says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then over in Hebrew, you don't have to turn to it, but Hebrews 4:12, it talks about that the Word of God is sharper than, you know, any two-edged sword and so forth. But if you notice over in, well, okay, we will do that. Turn over to Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you notice it's not describing natural warfare here? It's describing spiritual stuff, all right? Or stuff you can't see. It's describing what a lot of Christians don't understand. That the battle is in the realm of the spirit. That's where the attacks come. You just see the manifestations of it on the outside. But the attacks are coming from the realm of the spirit. We get caught up dealing with the outside, and Satan sits back and laughs at us. Now, when you think about this, turn back over to Ephesians. I want to point something out to you. Now, we don't have time to go into all of the armor. You know, that's a different teaching altogether. But what we're going to do, if you look in chapter 6 again, as we read through this list, the only one, as we read this, the only one that really jumps out to us as a weapon is the sword, right? Now, in the Roman soldiers, you know, literally everything they had could be used as a form of weapon. I mean, even their shoes. And we've talked about that before. But I'm talking, when you just read this, the only one that really jumps out and hits you as though it were a weapon is a sword. The sword of the Spirit. Not sword of the natural, but sword of the Spirit. And he tells you what it is. The Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Now, very simply, if you're not using the Word of God, are you using a spiritual sword? You see how simple that was? If you're not using the Word of God, you're not using a spiritual sword. Now, let's just get real simple here. I don't see anything I could use as a sword, but anyhow, here. Not too impressive, huh? Okay, we're going to have to use some faith here, glory to God. All right, now, in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, now please keep in mind, we're using imagery here. In the realm of the Spirit, this is what the Word of God looks like. Work with me. Or I shall skewer you. Okay, in the realm of the Spirit, this is what the Word of God looks like. Now, in the realm of the Spirit, since the devil is a spirit, do you understand this is the only thing he respects and fears? You say, what do you mean he respects it? I don't mean he says, whoa, man, that's a neat King James you got there. I'm talking about if a policeman says stop and you don't stop, and then he pulls out his gun and says, excuse me, but I did say stop. You're going to stop? Unless you're really dumb, yes. You may not like him at all, but suddenly you respect him for a different reason. He's got a gun and he could make short work of you. In the realm of the Spirit, this is the only thing that the devil respects and fears. This is it. Now, what if I come at him with this?
I'll sue you. You did me wrong. I'm going to sue you.
And the devil says, go ahead, sue him. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Take him to court. Sue their pants off. I mean, take the food out of their kids' mouths. Doesn't make any difference to me because you can't do anything to me with this. It means absolutely nothing to me. Go ahead and sue. You sue, you win. You go around and tell everybody. Bless God, I took him to court. Took that jury 5 minutes to decide in my favor. That's right. Now you go witness to the people you just whipped in court. You fought it in the flesh. You prostituted your testimony. You sold out to the devil. And you didn't even know it. Now he's laughing at you. Oh, yeah, you got the judgment. You got the money. But who's laughing all the way to the bank? It's the devil. It's because he respects nothing but the Word of God. Now, look over in John chapter 17. Going to look at one verse over here. Not going to spend much time on it. John chapter 17. Look at verse 17. Jesus is speaking. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now turn over to John chapter 6. And in verse 63. Jesus says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All right, now, over in John 10:10, Jesus made a statement. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. And we've talked about that's what he wants to do. That's it. That his primary goal is to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. And he does it all with all different kinds of tactics. But the tactics and the strategies are always the same. They're repetitive. He'll use the same pattern over and over. You can see it in the Word of God. Now, his number one tactic to do this is deception. Deception helps him steal, kill, and destroy more than anything else. He will steal, kill, and destroy your spiritual walk with God. Not steal your salvation, he can't do that, but he will steal, kill, and destroy your walk with God, because if he can get you caught up in a system that denies the operation of God's power, then sure, you're going to walk hand in hand with Jesus all the way to heaven, but it will be powerless here on earth. See? He has stolen, killed, and destroyed your ability to overpower him. I mean, it's inherent, the ability, just because you're born again, but he has kept you deceived from operating in the fullness of what you could do. See? Now, on the other hand, we've seen in Scripture, just moments ago, that God's Word is truth, God's Word is spirit, God's Word is life, and on the other hand, we have deception, stealing, killing, destroying. Do you see the opposition here? Now, what is the opposite of stealing, killing, destroy? And the deception? Truth and life. That's the opposite. Truth and life is the opposite of deception, stealing, killing, and destroying. Okay, what is truth? God's Word. What is spirit? God's Word. What is life? God's Word. So what should you be using? God's Word. Everybody says, yes, amen, hallelujah to that. But how many people believe it? You see what I'm getting at? How many people really believe this? Now, turn over to Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63. There are a lot of, you know, we talk about, you know that song that we sing? It says, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me, took back what he stole from me, went to, and took back what he stole from me. All right, we sing that and everybody, you know, yippee, yippee, tie-yay, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We get all worked up over that. So how many people do it, though? How many people go to the enemy's camp and take back what was stolen from them? How many, we sing about it, and you have to understand. You can sing that till you run out of breath and pass out and your tongue hangs out. But you're not scaring the devil. I mean, here you are singing this song, people dancing in the aisles and all that, and praise God for the song. It's, you know what I'm saying? Okay, hallelujah. But the devil's on the outside, you know, peeking in the windows. There they go again, singing that song. What a bunch of dummies. They sing it and they never do it. That's like two people looking at each other saying, I'm going to whoop you, man. Oh, yeah, I'm going to whoop you. Oh, no, I'm going to whoop you. Oh, no, yeah. And they stand there for 10 minutes, 15, 30 minutes talking about what they're going to do to each other and they never do anything. That's just like us. We're standing here and say, oh, I went into the enemy, took back what he stole from me, and then walk out complaining about how he's messed up our lives. And the devil's sitting here saying, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. That's me, all right. Keep talking. Woo-hoo, I'm bad. Yeah, you are. When we understand to be proactive instead of reactive, we will be able to exact, as we're going to see here in just a few moments, vengeance. Oh, no, Brother Martin, we can't do that. Why not? Because the Bible saith, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. That's right, it does. Let's look at it. See, you know I wouldn't bring things like up if I didn't have something to come back at with it. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah 63, verse 4. It says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee. Where am I? Oh, I'm in 64. I like this one's good too, though. Isaiah 60. We'll save 64 for another teaching. I was starting to get into this. And in my mind, I'm thinking, where is this going anyhow? I hope it ends up somewhere good. If not, I'll make it good, bless God. Isaiah 63, verse 4. It says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people. Am I in the... I'm sorry. Verse 4. I'm saying, where's this winepress come in? Somebody come up and preach this for me, would you? Verse 4. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart. I got it. And the year of my redeemed is come. The day of vengeance is in mine heart. And the year of my redeemed is come. Now turn over to Romans chapter 12. I think. And I will try to find it with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, sounds like a funeral. A wedding. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now stop right there. It says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Avenge not yourselves. In other words, don't do it yourself. Don't do it by your own power. Well, why not? He says, give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So, people have done you wrong, whatever it is. And it's spiritual in nature, all right? And he says, Don't try to extract vengeance out of yourself by your own efforts. Because God has said, vengeance is mine. Now turn over to Deuteronomy 32. And in Deuteronomy 32, take a look at verse 35. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste. So God is saying, to me belongeth vengeance and recompense. To me. Now, Paul wrote and said, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Over here, God is saying, vengeance is mine and recompense is mine. In other words, I'll do it. Now, turn over to Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 59, begin looking in verse 17. It says, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now, let's think about what all we've just read, or in some cases tried to read. God says, vengeance is mine. He says, avenge not yourselves, vengeance is mine. Then here in Isaiah, when you read this, in verse 17, he put on righteousness as a breastplate, helmet of salvation. I mean, what does this sound like? Does this sound like it's maybe an Old Testament reference to what we see over there in Ephesians? And he says, according to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. And he's talking about recompense. He's talking about vengeance and these things that he says he's going to do. And then in verse 19, he says that when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now here's the problem. You got a lot of people that will talk about this verse. And they're talking about, you know, when the enemy comes in, and they say, well, the comma's in the wrong place. It should be when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against them. Some people say, well, no, the comma's in the right place. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Oh, no, put the comma here. No, put the comma there. Really, it doesn't make any difference where you put the comma, because one way or the other, the enemy's going to be defeated. And God operates. Now, see, here's the thing. Remember, God is a spirit. And the weapons of our warfare are not natural, they're spiritual. God operates through us, through His Spirit. He operates through us to execute this vengeance. People stand up and they wonder, how come God's not moving on my behalf? How come God's not doing anything? How come God's not? How come God's not? And then on the other hand, God's up in heaven. He's looking down on the situation. He's saying, do you not read my word? Yeah, vengeance is mine. You get outside the kingdom and try to do it yourself, and you're going to mess up and you're going to end up in a worse state than what you were before. Vengeance is mine. I operate within the realm of my kingdom. If you will use kingdom weapons and allow me to move through you, I will operate through you, through your spirit, by the power of my Holy Spirit, and I will get vengeance. You're my children. It's my power, but it's your authority. If you don't work with me, I can't help you. Amen. This is where the problem lies. Until you understand it's a spiritual thing, not a natural thing, you're going to keep trying to win your battles according to what you know and what you understand, and you're not going to turn it over to God to operate through you. When you're operating in the realm of the Spirit, fighting a battle on a spiritual level as opposed to a natural level, you will not worry. You will not fret. You will not despair. You will not call everybody you know and complain. You will be at peace. Because when God is fighting it for you, through you, it's His weapon you're using. But on the inside, you have His peace. See? But when you're trying, this is one way to know whether or not you're using God's weapons. You're really fighting this thing from within the kingdom. If there's fear, consternation, you're upset, worked up, worrisome, all this other, then you're fighting it your way, not God's way. When you fight it God's way, there'll be perfect peace. Because the Bible says, perfect peace casts out fear. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. When you operate with the weapons of God, then what happens is you're going to see these victories won in your life. When you begin to mount the attack with God's weapons, that's when you can go into the enemy's camp and take back what he stole from you. But you can't do it if you're doing it on your own. It's impossible to go in there under your own power. Now, turn over to John chapter 16. I want you to see something. See, when you're using God's weapons, and primarily it's the Word of God, when you're using His weapons, not only are you going to be able to reverse things that have happened, but you're also going to be able to prevent things from happening. Now, in John chapter 16, I want you to look at verse 13. Howbeit, the Spirit of truth, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now that phrase, will show, it comes from a Greek word, anagelo. And it's related to the word angelos, which means messenger. In other words, He will be a messenger to you of things to come, or He will speak to you and tell you things to come. Now turn back to where we were this morning, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now Jesus has made the statement that the Holy Spirit would show you things to come. What we're getting into right now is how you're going to be able to mount this attack. How you're going to be able to, as we sing it, go into the enemy's camp, take back what he's stolen from you, and not only that, but prevent attacks from coming. The Holy Spirit will speak to you on a spiritual level, and He will show you things to come, which includes attacks that Satan is leveling your way. Now, some of you are experiencing attacks in your life right now. I don't know what they are. It's all kind of, I mean, it could be financial, it could be emotional, it could be physical. I mean, just all kinds of things. Some of you are experiencing attacks right now, and some of you, the attack has gone on for so long, you basically have learned to live with it. Now I ask you, is this describing Mark 4 or is it not? Because when you get to the place that you learn to just live with your problem, you have given in to the devil. You're waving the white flag of surrender. Because you figure that's just the way it's going to be. I challenge you from this pulpit to show me in God's Word where He said that's just the way it's supposed to be. You can't find it. This is another one of those things that Christians don't like to be confronted with. Because we don't understand the fullness of what it means to fight on a spiritual level. Now, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would show you things to come. I'm going to give you a natural example of this. An illustration, or some people might say a type and shadow. We read it this morning. Verse 8. The king of Assyria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place will be my camp. What comes out of this camp? The Syrians. They're getting ready to do what? Attack, right? So here's going to be our camp. We're going to set up camp, and out of this camp, we're going to launch an attack. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there, not once or twice. In other words, this is happening over and over again. The Syrian king is saying, all right, let's set up here. Let's set the ambush up here. And the man of God, which we know is Elisha sends word to the king and says, don't do it. Don't go that way, because that's where the enemy is waiting for you. Go another way. King of Israel says, okay, well, then we'll do that. And so the Syrian king, he realizes, well, we didn't get them. They went another way. And so he moves his camp, and he keeps moving his camp, setting up for an attack, but he never gets to attack. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want you to, in your mind, imagine the king of Syria has an army, right? The army has weapons, right? They are trained to use their weapons, right? They are ready to use those weapons. But the problem is, the people they're supposed to use the weapons on never come close enough. Well, the king of Syria, he's starting to get a little frustrated, and look what he says. Verse 11. The heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled, meaning this guy was honked off. He called his servants and said, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, who's the traitor? And one of his servants said, it's none of us, Lord. But Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. In other words, you know, you go behind closed door and this guy still knows what you're talking about. And he goes and he tells the king of Israel about it. Now this is, if you will, type and shadow of what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit will come to you and tell you what the devil is planning, what he's talking about in his bedchamber. He will expose to you attacks that are coming your way. And it doesn't mean that the devil will never, ever, ever launch an attack, but the Holy Spirit will prepare you. But here is a stroke of genius on the devil's behalf. He works his way into denominations, and he tells the leaders to tell the people, God doesn't speak anymore. Anybody ever heard that besides me? So if you grow up believing God doesn't talk anymore, then you never think to train your spiritual ear to hear the spiritual voice of the Spirit of God. And there's the Holy Spirit the whole time. He wants to tell you what's going to happen. It's part of his job description. He wants to warn you ahead of time where the enemy has set up camp and is waiting to launch an attack with weapons that he knows how to use very, very well. But you don't believe God speaks anymore. So you go on about your merry way from one problem to the next. And you don't know why. But then you come over into circles where people say, oh, well, now we don't believe that. No. We know God speaks today. We know He does. Well, does He speak to you? Well, when He wants to, I'll be ready. In other words, another stroke of genius. Satan has convinced you that you can't, like, carry on a conversation with God. You know, say something to Him, He responds, ask Him a question, He answers. He asks you a question, not because He doesn't know, but because He wants you to know what He knows about you. Some of you maybe have never experienced that. It's really neat. Well, God, but I was thinking, well, yes, but, well, okay, but what about, well, you have to do, well, God, I was thinking, well, that's what I want you to do. So you're saying it if I, yeah, and if you do, oh, now, Brother Martin, God doesn't really talk like that. Yeah, He does. Some churches, if I were to stand up and say that, they'd say I've been talking with devils, if they acknowledge them. You see what I'm saying? How in the world can you hear from God if you don't hang around long enough to listen to what He's saying? Well, if he wants to talk to me, he can. I mean, he knows where I am all the time. Well, yeah, that, you know, I guess that's a nice little theology. In other words, you want to hear from God on your terms, and you will define for him how and when he can communicate with you. Have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, if you sat down long enough and talked to him, you might hear him? In fact, here's a brainstorm. Have you ever asked him, Father, what kind of traps is the devil laying for me?
Well, Brother Martin, no, I don't think I've ever really asked that question.
You ever? Why not? It's because we haven't come to the place of fully comprehending that God will tell us. Think about it. See, these kind of things I'm saying to you, they sound so simple, but think about how profound they are and how they really are impacting our lives and how much we really are deceived. The Holy Spirit is God, and He knows more than the devil. He will tell you things the devil is planning. He will help you prepare yourself for the attack. He will help you launch an attack. He will help you protect yourself. Because this is all spiritual, not natural. Now, turn over to Psalm chapter 1. Yeah, Psalm chapter 1. Turn to Psalm chapter 1. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. First off, when it comes to being proactive as opposed to reactive, the Bible says that we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. How many of you would like to know an area of your life that Satan is going to attack? You'd like to know that right now. Tonight, I'm going to give you a word from the Lord for every single one of you. I'm going to tell you right now, for each one of you, individually, I'm going to tell you where Satan is going to attack. Go through your Bible and identify every promise and every blessing that God has ever guaranteed you. That is where Satan is going to attack. Every promise, every blessing. That's where he's going to attack. Because, Mark 4, the Word, Satan comes immediately. The Word is truth. The Word contains His promises. The Word contains God's blessings. Satan comes immediately to attack those areas. Every promise. Now, here, let's think about it. Let's compare reactive, proactive, working things out in the natural, as opposed to working things out in the realm of the Spirit. Have you ever talked to people who have gone through all kinds of junk, and they have said things like, boy, did my faith ever get built up by that problem? You ever heard anybody say that? No. That's what they think. But they have been deceived by the devil into thinking such a thing. Well, Brother Martin, I mean, it seemed like I came out better than what I was. Well, you may have. But your faith did not get built up by the problem. Because truth says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and you build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's God's Word. That's it. When it comes to faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Faith did not come by your problem. You were not built up on your faith by your problem. It is impossible for that to happen. I disagree, Brother Martin. It's okay. Go ahead, disagree. I'm telling you what the Word says. You're telling me what you think. And you don't have any Word to support what you're saying. You're deceived and you don't want to admit it. You're living a lie. And you don't want to admit it. What does the Word say? The Word says, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and you build yourself up praying in the Holy Ghost. That's what truth is. That's God's truth, not mine. God's truth. So therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Very simple concept, is it not? But what is the Word? The Word of God is spirit, is truth, is life, and is a sword. See? So think of it this way. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, but in the process, you're building up your armament. You're becoming more equipped to wage warfare, to defend yourself and to attack. You're becoming more equipped to do that. Now, here's another one. Have you ever heard it said? Let's do this like Jesus. You have heard it said, give your way out of your financial problem. Have you not heard that said? Haven't you heard that?
Yeah.
Where does that come from? Where does it come from? What scripture says that? Any version of the Bible you want. I don't care. Amplified, New American. You show me anywhere in any version of the Bible, any verse that even hints at give your way out of a financial problem. But is it not preached? And what do people do? Give. Do they get out of their financial problems? No. Because giving is a natural thing. It is a carnal thing. But yet it is presented, now listen to this, it is presented as a spiritual weapon. Defeat poverty by giving. Give your way out of your financial problems. In other words, giving has become my weapon. What's the Word of God say? Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's just one of many verses that we could use. What's the Word say? The Word says that the Word is the key, not your giving. But if you stand up and preach that, you could get in a lot of trouble. You know why? Because the giving could go down to the ministries that have based their financial support on give your way out of your problems. The Word is the answer. All through the Bible, I mean from Genesis to Revelation, it was always the Word that produced. Not the actions of man. It was always the Word that produced. It started in Genesis. God wanted a universe, so God spoke, did He not? What didn't exist beforehand? A universe. What didn't exist beforehand? Planets and stars. What didn't exist beforehand? Trees, birds, and fish. What didn't exist beforehand? Everything that's natural. God wanted all of the natural. So what did God do? He spoke. See, it's so amazing how that God changed everything by virtue of His Word. He changed everything by what He spoke. See? And yet, we can't get past Genesis chapter 1 with the understanding of part of what God's trying to get across to us. You can change the current existence of your circumstances by using what I've given to you, which is my Word. My Word doesn't fail. So, when I begin to mount an attack against the enemy, number one, I know that the attacks are going to come in the area of every promise and every blessing that God has named in the Bible, as far as I'm concerned. My family relationships, my health, my finances, my peace of mind. I mean, on and on it goes. I know those are the areas that He's going to attack in some way, shape, or form. Now, since I know this already, I can launch a counterattack. Number one, to reclaim what I've lost. Number two, to prevent what's coming. Because the attacks will be there. Say, well, how do I do this? Once again, God's Word is life, is spirit, is truth, and is a sword. You draw your sword and apply it. How do I do that? You do what God did. You speak it. But Brother Martin, I know, It doesn't make sense to the carnal mind.
But it feels like I'm just wasting time. I mean, all I'm doing is just sitting there and just, you know, speaking Bible verses. I should be doing something!
You have been trying to do something, and it's failed. Wake up! It ain't working! Do it God's way. It works. It works. And this, see, now will you please let this sink in? What if your entire Christian life, you had been raised to believe in the power of God's Word? Instead of now, all of a sudden, hearing it. What if you had been raised to believe this? What if you had been raised to believe, speak God's Word for everything you need in life? Speak God's Word, His truth, for everything you want in life. Speak God's Word against the devil. Speak God's Word against attacks. Speak. What if that's how you had been raised? If that's how you had been raised, what I'm saying here tonight wouldn't sound so odd to some people. Wouldn't clash with the religious teaching that we've had all of our years. Well, you know, you ought to be doing something instead of just sitting there quoting verses from the Bible. I mean, the world's passing you by. But I'm winning. How can you be winning? You're just sitting there. You're just mumbling the Bible. But I'm winning. No, you're a fool. You're deceived. You think sitting there quoting the Bible is going to change anything? Well, it did for God. He got a universe. Sounds to me like it works pretty good. His Word is Spirit, so every time I'm speaking His Word, you know what I'm doing? I'm speaking something spiritual. You can't see it. I'm speaking something spiritual. His Word is truth. Every time I speak it, I'm speaking truth that is hitting every lie that's come my way. His Word is life. Well, every time I speak it, I'm speaking life into whatever needs life. His Word is a sword. Every time I speak it, I'm poking the enemy. Now, let's pretend we can see into the realm of the Spirit. The enemy has attacked. And he's attacked you in the area of your money. And he says, I've got you where I want you. And you can't figure out why it is. For 30 years, you've never been able to get ahead. Will you please listen to what I'm saying? If you're a child of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ, why for 30 years have you been struggling financially? Why?
Well, because, and it's just, and I can't, and it,
natural, natural, natural. Do you not understand the problem is in the Spirit? And you have been suffering from a spiritual attack these 30, 40, 20, 10, 50 years? Do you not understand this? Well, Brother Martin, if you're a child of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, what's keeping you from walking in the fullness of God's blessings? I didn't say how many Cadillacs do you have. Don't misunderstand me. If you are never able to get ahead, if it's one thing after another, do you not understand somebody's got a grip on your money? And they're hurting you. But you don't even know it because you can't see your enemy. So here he is. He says, boy, I tell you what, this is the easiest job I've had. Hit him 25 years ago, never let go since. Got it made, man. Got it made. Now all of a sudden you hear a message like this. And you realize that all of this right here hasn't been working. And you realize that the third and the fourth and the fifth job hasn't cut it. I mean, you double your income and you still can't make it? Wake up! Something's wrong! It is spiritual! There is a demon operating in your household! Do you understand this? I know this is like a between the eyes kind of thing to say, but church, it's time to wake up and realize its stuff is not natural, it's spiritual. That devil's got you marked and he's trying to keep you back. He's trying to hold you down as much as he can. And for some people, he has been excessively successful. And he knows he's successful when all you do is complain about how much you make on your job. Because he knows then you see your job as the only way to have money. You don't see that the power of God's Word can change the whole thing. And so here's this devil. Buddy, he thinks he is so proud of himself. For 30 years, he's held you down. And all of a sudden, you hear a message like this. A little light goes off. Ping. And you think, oh my goodness. For 30 years, I've let this bum live in my home. Well, we're just going to see about that. What's the Word have to say? The Word says, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that's what the Word says. The Word is truth. The Word is spirit. The Word is life. I need life in my finances. The Word is also a sword. Somebody has been holding on, and I didn't know it. Well, somebody is just going to let go. And so, you start doing things like, my God supplies all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Then you latch on to another verse or two. Oh, I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Jesus. I know Your grace that though You are rich, yet for my sake You became poor, that I through Your poverty might be rich. God, I thank You so much that You make all grace abound unto me, that I always have all sufficiency in all things, and I abound to every good work. And you keep stabbing and stabbing and jabbing and jabbing and stabbing and stabbing. And I'm going to tell you what, the first day you start that, somebody's hands start to shake. Oh, ooh, boy. Ooh. Where'd they get this stuff? Oh. And they pull out their little cell phone. I need help. Send in some reinforcements. Yeah, they're starting to speak the Word against me. And it's hurting. Oh, it's hurting. I need help. I need help. So they send in reinforcements. And here come a few more. No, we're not going to let go. We're not going to let go. We're not going to let. And you just keep on. You keep on. A week goes by. A month goes by. 2 months go by. 3 months. 4 months. 5 months. 6 months. 8 months. Hey, listen. They've had 30 years to dig in trenches. But the day's going to come if you don't stop. You're going to drive them off because they are not more powerful than the Word of God. And the day comes, it's like, no, no, please stop. Don't say it again. Don't say it again. No, 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 don't do that. Yeah, no. And then all of a sudden, you come in.
I've got a testimony. I don't know how all this happened, but all of a sudden, we got money.
That's the dumbest thing you could say. What do you mean? To stand up and say, I don't know how this happened. And that little devil's there saying, aha! They still don't get it. Come on, boys. We're going to attack from the north this time. They don't know how it happened. They're still not convinced of the power of God's Word. See, if Satan can get you to talk more about the problem, I know you don't do that, but you know the people that do. If he can get you to talk more about the problem,
well, that old drunk husband of mine, Pastor, would you please pray for that drunk husband of mine?
Wait a minute. You're here. Where's your husband?
He's out drunk. How do you know that? Well, he's not here. You know how he is. Always drunk all the time.
No, I'm not going to pray for that drunk husband. I'm going to pray for you. You need it worse than he does. When you keep talking about the problem, do you know what you're doing? You're picking up Satan's sword. And you are destroying your own life.
taking his lies. You picking up his weapon. You have become his mouthpiece into your own life. And as long as you keep doing that, you've got the door open for him to continue these attacks. But the moment that you begin to take your weapon, the moment that you begin to take the Word of God, your sword, and you begin to speak it, number one, what you're going to do is begin reversing attacks that have existed for a long time. You're going to start uprooting a lot of the junk. But then, you keep praying in tongues. You keep spending time with the Holy Spirit. And one day, you're going to be praying. And ask, what? Where has the enemy set up camp? Help me see what's coming. The Holy Spirit's going to say, well, you know that business deal they approached you about the other day? Yeah? He's going to say, don't do it. Don't do it. What do you mean, don't do it? Well, don't do it. Well, why not? It's not like, you know, when he says don't, that's just not good enough. All right, we want him to explain himself. In other words, we want him to explain why we shouldn't so we can determine whether or not we shouldn't. Shouldn't don't be good enough? He says, don't do it. Well, I don't understand. I mean, Holy Spirit, it's just such a good deal. I mean, if this deal goes through, Holy Spirit, we're going to be able to make $50,000. He says, well, that's what it looks like. And yes, you'll make $50,000. However, those people that you're entering into business with, they've been cheating other people. Now, they're not going to cheat you. They're going to do you right, and you're going to make $50,000. But they've been cheating other people. And they're going to come under investigation. And when they come under investigation, they're going to be shut down. And everybody who's done business with them is going to have their assets seized, including the $50,000 you made. Don't do it. It's like, oh, okay. Then you call them up and you say, well, we're not going to do the deal. And they're thinking, huh? And everybody around you is saying, you're going to what? You're waving goodbye to $50,000? Wave goodbye to it now. Wave goodbye to it later. And if I wave goodbye to it later, I'm also going to be waving goodbye to just about everything else I have. It is a trap. A trap. That's what the Holy Spirit will do for you. Does that mean that Satan will never, ever attack? Again, you know better. He's going to. He will. He will try to attack. But when you become proactive, we already know that he's going to attack in the area, or try to, alright? He'll try to attack in the area of finances. You start speaking the word now, but I'm not having financial problems. We're being proactive. You see what I'm saying? We're being proactive. We are preventing problems before they happen. You know he's going to attack in the area of your health. Speak the word of God over your body, but I'm not sick. Proactive. You see the reactive mentality in this. Proactive. We got to be proactive. You speak the word of God over your kids. You said, but my kids are doing fine. Proactive. How many kids were doing fine until they got to be 17? Then they went nuts. You with me? Proactive now. In your life, speak the word of God. Speak the will of God. Be proactive now. Attack him before he's got a chance to put the tent post down at his camp. Attack him now. Attack him. Don't let up. God said, vengeance is mine. Do you understand how anxious God is, if he can get anxious, how anxious God is to want to work through you to lay one on the devil? Now we know Satan's been defeated. We understand that. But we also know that we're in warfare. God said so in His Word. Do you understand? God wants to work through you. He wants to release His power through you. And when you begin to speak His Word, He's able to add His anointing, His grace, His glory to the words that you're speaking. And when you speak those words, you may think, I'm wasting my time. But God's in heaven saying, don't stop. If we could only see in the realm of the Spirit the injury, the harm, the damage that we are doing to the enemy when we speak the word of God. Reactive waits until the bad stuff has hit. And at times, you can turn it. At times,
You can reverse it. At times you can reclaim, but sometimes you don't. And sometimes you lose. And every one of us have been there. And I'm telling you now, I'm not going to guarantee that everybody who does this is never ever going to suffer loss in any way. Now here's why I'm saying that. It's because I don't know where everybody's walking with God. So I can't say, if you just do this, then everything's going to be fine. Because I don't know what else is going on in your life. I know this. If you do this, everything's going to be fine. When the Word becomes your standard, when the Word becomes that which you, when this gets down into your heart and you believe it, and you realize, even though I don't sense a need right now, I know the enemy is going to try and set up camp and ambush me. I know he is. I will attack now. When an attack comes, you can know this. You're going to be prepared to fight this thing. You're going to be prepared to drive him away. Sometimes, you know, you may have, it may be down and dirty. Again, but remember, it is a spiritual thing. And God's Word does not fail. And if, see, the reason I said a moment ago that I can't guarantee, some people mess this thing up. How many of you know that all of the apostles were martyred except for John? Okay? Somebody could say, well, you know, it didn't work for them. You're not going to control the will of another human being with the Word of God. Remember, this is not carnal. It is spiritual. And you have an enemy that does not have more power than you. The Word of God is your weapon to be proactive, to take him down. Don't, you know, what is it? No prisoners. No prisoners. No mercy. Not in this. No prisoners and no mercy. Let God work vengeance through you. Be proactive. And see these victories. Take back what's been stolen and prevent attacks in the future. Be proactive. You're part of the kingdom of God, and this is how the kingdom strikes first. Be proactive. Be standing.